Usually you can pick a lot, a little, or somewhere in the middle. That's why Cox now offers flexible internet plans, giving you all the services you desire and nothing you don't require. Additional services can be added at then current regular rates.
At Family Dollar, we know you want more to enjoy your summer. That's why you'll find more in every store. Everything you need to treat and refresh your family. Like our assortment of ice cream, frozen treats, snacks, and drinks from the brands you love. And everything you'll need if things get a little messy. Like cleaning supplies and laundry products. All in one convenient place at great value. Family Dollar, helping you do more.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Allie Heisman. Allie is the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. The podcast is dedicated to providing content and information related to the NFL's Cleveland Browns. We discuss the Browns' Week 4 loss against the Atlanta Falcons, Browns' offense and defense. We also discuss Jacoby Brissett, the Browns' next game against the Los Angeles Chargers in Week 5, her favorite foods to eat at a Browns game, and more. Allie is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Whatever you're doing right now, software is helping you. To most people, it's invisible, just things working as they should. But to the people behind the code, it's an epic quest. One that could end in epic failure. Or put ideas on a speed run to production. With Red Hat's open technologies, every workflow can be a win. That's what connecting your clouds feels like. Learn more at redhat.com/connectclouds.
Everyone deserves to feel connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. For real. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
We can't see tomorrow, but we can hear it. And it sounds like a wind farm powering homes across the country. We're bridging to a sustainable energy future, working today to ensure tomorrow is on. Enbridge, life takes energy.
He told us in our meeting that he wasn't this read option agile.
Hunt in motion. Hand off to Chubb. Chubb through the left side. Inside the 20. Chubb's got the 10. 5. Touchdown. Nick Chubb.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and CBS Sports. And that game was from Week 4 with the Cleveland Browns going up against the Atlanta Falcons, which took place on October the 2nd of 2022. The first highlight that you heard was Jacoby Brissett, quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, scoring a rushing touchdown. And the second soundbite that you heard was Cleveland Browns running back Nick Chubb scoring a rushing touchdown. Unfortunately, the Browns fell short in the Week 4 game against the Falcons, losing 23-20. To talk more about this game and, of course, the Browns' next game against the Los Angeles Chargers and so much more, we have her back on the program. She loves her Cleveland Browns, and she's not afraid to show it. She is the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast, Allie Heisong. Hey, Allie, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. I know you have a lot of takeaways from this game, so let's just get right to the chase. What were your takeaways from the Browns game against the Atlanta Falcons?
Look, I think that the Browns have come up short in, you know, every week so far this season. I think it's fair to say that this team could easily be 4-0, but they just tend to get in the way of themselves time and time again. Now, even with their victories, you look at the win over the Pittsburgh Steelers, you look at the win over the Carolina Panthers, there's still some moments that you would certainly like to have back, and I'm sure that Kevin Stefanski would likely agree with that, that it wasn't a perfect or a pretty game. But it comes down to the details. They're a young team. And they're just coming up short on some of those details. You can say some of it's coaching. You could say some of it's busted coverages. I think offensively, if you're taking a look at the Cleveland Browns, it's as good as it's going to get with Jacoby Brissett. You've got a really stellar run game with Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. They just haven't been able to get it going defensively on a consistent basis, and that has really probably been the recipe to the reason why they're 2-2 rather than 4-0.
So we're going to get more into detail about the defense in just a moment. I want to start off with this running game. A lot of people have said that this could be the best two. The best running back combination, the best 1-2 punch when the running department in the NFL for the Cleveland Browns with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Nick Chubb had 19 carries for 118 yards and a touchdown against the Falcons. Give me your thoughts on Nick and his play in this game.
Look, I think that Nick Chubb embodies everything you want as a Cleveland Brown. You know, he is probably the heart and soul of this offense. You know, without Nick Chubb, without Kareem Hunt, you really can't get a lot going offensively with the limitations of Jacoby Brissett, who I tend to believe that he's played as good as he can under the circumstances. But ultimately, this two-headed monster at running back is the recipe for the success that the Cleveland Browns have had offensively. They're one of the most efficient teams offensively in the National Football League, which is crazy to think, given that they're 2-2. But nonetheless, you can attribute a lot of that to Nick Chubb. This is his first game back in Georgia since college. He put on a show, you know, time in, time out, every single week. Nick Chubb is showing up. You know, he is running with his hair on fire, playing some of his best football. And then you throw in a different style of runner in Kareem Hunt, who runs with a little bit more, dare I say, you know, aggression or passion. You know, he almost runs every single time he touches the ball like it's his last. So two different styles of running, but ultimately I think that they complement each other very, very well. And I think that that's been put on full display through the first 4 weeks.
A wonderful combination between Chubb and Hunt. I guess it's kind of like a comparison of thunder and lightning almost, with Chubb being the lightning and then Hunt being the thunder in this combination. And let's stay with Kareem for a moment. He had 10 carries for 49 yards in this game. Just give me your thoughts on Kareem and his play in this game.
Yeah, you know, like I said with Nick Chubb, this running game is the heart and soul of this offense. Kareem Hunt, like I said, he plays with his hair on fire. He's running like every time he touches the football, it's his last time. But what you can see with Kareem Hunt is his diversity. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can make those explosive plays. But when it boils down to it, the man is just slippery. He can just get outside of the tackles. And same with Nick Chubb. But they're a perfect complement to each other. I like your analogy, the thunder and lightning, because that's perfect given who they are and what they're doing. But Kareem Hunt, he's elusive. He's electric. He can make plays after the catch, and he can certainly make you miss some tackles. So really like what you're seeing from the backfield for your Cleveland Browns, but I think that ultimately perfect complement. I just would like to see them being used in a better way. You get all the way down to the 1 yard line, 2 yard line, and the fact that you're running a drop back pass and you get penalized, you get pushed back a little bit more. You've got Nick Chubb. You've got Kareem Hunt. You've got, you know, Mr. Sneaky, Jacoby Brissett, quarterback sneak. You have the ability to, you know, really just absolutely annihilate the line of scrimmage and dominate the time of possession with Kareem Hunt, with Nick Chubb. I would like to see them just stick to it a little bit more.
All right. I want to move along now to the receiving side. We've talked about great tight ends in the NFL with Travis Kelce in Kansas City. And you also have George Kittle in San Francisco. David Njoku has been making a name for himself the last several years as a member of the Cleveland Browns. In his game against the Falcons, he had 5 catches for 73 yards. Give me your thoughts on David and his performance in the game against Atlanta.
You know, a couple of years ago when David Njoku had requested a trade, I had said on my podcast, you know, look, this is the best situation for David Njoku. It may not be right now, but the long-term scope of things, David Njoku's best spot is in Cleveland, and I think that we're starting to see that. Now, it has been a slow start for David. Even though he is a first-round pick, we haven't really seen him take off like some of the other tight ends in the league. Mark Andrews comes to mind, George Kittle, Travis Kelce. He's not that type of player, though. And the way that the Cleveland Browns have used him over the past couple of years and how they're, you know, kind of getting off to a start here this season is he's really a big-bodied receiver. He's honed in on his craft of blocking. He's getting much better at that. really working on his hands, but he's a big-bodied receiver that can make those basketball style of plays. And we talk about the perfect complement in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, but I also think that if you take a look at complementary tight ends, David Njoku and Harrison Bryant are two totally different styles of players that complement each other very well in this offense. But David Njoku, I really like what I'm seeing from him so far this season. I'd like to see him be a little bit more consistent with his pass-catching abilities, but he has the ability to go up and make some freakish style plays.
Yeah, Njoku's really been picking up his play the last couple of years, and this year, so far, so good. He's really stepped it up. I want to talk now about Donovan Peoples-Jones. The last time I had you on the program, Allie, we talked about how he's been like a cult favorite in Cleveland. He had 5 catches for 71 yards in the game against the Falcons. Give me your thoughts on Donovan's play in this game.
You know, I think that Donovan has been off to a pretty good start. At the end of the day, Donovan, he's reliable. He has kind of been a safety net for the past couple of years because you can count on him. Yeah, he's not going to be the type of route runner that's going to create a ton of separation. He's not a burner. That's just not who he is. But he can make those contested catches. He can give you the easy ones. He can make those layups. So he's kind of been that safety net for Jacoby Brissett in a certain type of way. Ultimately, I don't think that he's ever going to be wide receiver one for this Cleveland Browns offense, but that's not what he was drafted to do. I think that he played very well against the Atlanta Falcons. He's really stepped up to the plate. Overall, he's doing very well in his role. I think that he's a good complement. We're talking about all these complimentary players to Amari Cooper. I'd like to see the Browns bring in another receiver, maybe somebody that can take the top off. But coming into this season, we talk about one of the biggest issues with this offense, and you could easily point at the receiver position and say, hey, this is a huge area of concern. But through the first 4 weeks, it really hasn't been. Offense has looked really good, and so have the past.
All right, you mentioned his name earlier, Harrison Bryant. In this game, he only had 4 catches for 18 yards. Just give me your thoughts on Harrison and his performance in this game.
You know, I think that Harrison, he's played his role very well. We talk about the perfect complement between him and David Njoku. David Njoku, that big-bodied receiver, can make those crazy plays. And Harrison Bryan's not that guy. You know, he's that guy that can also be, like a Donovan Peoples-Jones, the safety valve. And he's consistently shown that. You know, he's got really good blocking ability. He can catch the ball. He can make those crazy plays. On a consistent basis, he's going to be out there in the heavy personnel situations as another blocker, or just as your stereotypical tight end in the National Football League. He's good at a lot of things, but he's not great at one thing. I think he's a very serviceable tight end. I like him in this offense, but I still think he's very young. This is, you know, he's young in the NFL. I think he still needs a lot of snaps. He still needs a lot of experience. So I would say probably if we were to have this conversation towards the end of this season, we're saying, hey, you know, Harrison Bryant, David Njoku are some of the top tight ends in this league. I don't think we're quite there yet. But I think that there's a lot of optimism surrounding Harrison Bryant and his style of play.
I want to talk now about the star receiver that came through in the trade during the offseason, and that's Amari Cooper. Even though he only had 1 catch for 9 yards, he was shut out in this game. But overall, Amari has been effective in a short amount of time since he's been in Cleveland. Give me your thoughts. Well, this is a two-part question. The first question is, what will you find out Amari was coming to Cleveland? And the second question is, what are your thoughts on what he's done for the team so far this year?
Well, I'll never forget, I was going through the McDonald's drive-thru and I saw on Twitter, I believe it was Jake Trotter had tweeted that the Browns had just traded for Amari Cooper, and I was ready to run into the McDonald's and throw a party in there. I was very excited. I think that, you know, just like Nick Chubb, he's the type of player that you want on your offense, a very selfless player that can make those freaky, freaky plays. But he flat out has the ability to get open. Now, you can credit some of that to Kevin Stefanski's offensive scheme. You know, I think that a lot of people will put up the argument that he needs to give up play calling. But I think I've been very strong in my belief that he flat out gets guys open. You pair that along with Amari Cooper's route running ability to create separation week in and week out. he is getting open. Now it's up to Jacoby Brissett to get the ball in the hands of his, you know, number one receiver, and we haven't seen that yet on a consistent basis, but I think over the course of this season, you're going to see that come to fruition. You're going to see Amari make those big-time plays in those big-time moments, but if you go back and you watch the All-22, you can see every single game, consistently, Amari Cooper has the ability to get open. Now, giving credit where it's due, A.J. Terrell played a great game. Coming into this week, he had given up a touchdown in every single game prior to the Cleveland Browns. So I think that the Browns are trying to look to exploit that just a little bit, but that didn't come to fruition. But ultimately, very happy with Amari Cooper so far this season.
All right. And, you know, one thing about Cleveland with over the last decade and a half, they've really had some solid offensive linemen, Joe Thomas, just to name a few. But what they've done with this running tandem of Chubb and Hunt has been phenomenal. Some of the stalwarts on this offensive line with the likes of Joel Bitonio, Jack Conklin, and, of course, Jedrick Wills, who's just been a diamond in the rough. Just give me your thoughts on the offensive line and their play so far this year.
Well, I think they've been very good, and they're going to continue to get better. I think that there's certainly some penalties you'd like to have back. Wyatt Teller, a couple holding calls. Joel Bitonio last week against the Atlanta Falcons, getting down the field a little bit too early on setting up a screen. So there's certainly some things you'd like to have back. But, you know, I made the argument a couple of weeks ago on my podcast saying, you know, with the truncated preseason and, you know, you're losing a preseason game, that really alters the way that teams go about their business in the preseason and how many reps their starters are getting. So I think that early on in the NFL, the first couple of weeks, throughout the league, not just the Cleveland Browns, it's been very, very clear that, you know, some of the starters didn't get as many reps as they probably should have in years past. So I think that as we progress over the course of this season, you're going to see this offensive line go from great, which I think is how they're playing right now, great offensive line to an elite offensive line. Number one in the National Football League, I don't think, is out of the question. I think that you've got a tremendous amount of talent on this line. And giving credit where it's due to Ethan Posick coming in, you bring him in free agency, you lose J.C. Treader over this offseason, and then you have Nick Harris stepping up in his place, former fifth-round pick, and he goes down in the preseason. So you throw in Ethan Posick, and he's played very, very well given the circumstance. So I think you're going to see an offensive line with a lot of discipline, very well coached from Bill Callahan, go from a great offensive line to an elite offensive line through the course of this.
Yeah, I think it's only going to get better, especially with Chubb and Hunt. In this currently in this early part of the NFL season, I'm like, usually it's expected to get better. I want to talk now about the kicking game for a moment. Cade York, the rookie from LSU. I mean, Cade has had some misses, but overall he's been good so far this early part of the NFL season. Give me your thoughts on Cade and his play during the season.
Yeah, I think Cade's been very solid. I think if you take a look back at this last game against the Atlanta Falcons, that early drive, Kevin Stefanski goes for it. You know, you mentioned it. Cade York's been playing pretty darn well. I think he's 8-for-8 on field goals so far this season. You got to put him in that situation. You know, you got to get the young player these reps. You mentioned it, though. He has had a couple of missed extra points. You certainly can't have that. But there's a lot of optimism surrounding this young player, but I have told my listeners on my podcast, hey, we need to understand that this is a rookie. This is a very young player. We need to be patient with him. But I think it all comes down to reps. He's got the talent. He's got the mental ability. He's got everything you want in a franchise kicker. It's just going to come down to reps. But I think he's played very, very well so far this season.
All right, solid. Let's move along now to the defensive side of the ball. Last time I had you on, Allie, we talked about JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. In this game against the Falcons, he had 4 tackles. Give me your thoughts on a JOK and his performance.
Well, I think with the loss of Anthony Walker Jr. For the remainder of this season, you're going to see the linebackers have to step up in a big way. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah included in that mix, and he's shown the ability to do that. You know, he is another player that just plays with a fire within him, with his hair on fire. Every single snap, he is fire in him. But, you know, I think that in this game against the Atlanta Falcons, they've had to increase their blitz percentage because you're out Myles Garrett, you're out Jadeveon Clowney, you're out Taven Bryan. So they had to use linebackers, safeties, and corners to get after the quarterback. And, you know, he showed the ability to do so. He can absorb the run. He can he's just so versatile. He can drop back into coverage. He can cover the tight end. He can stop the run. He can get after the quarterback. He is exactly what you wanted him to be when the Cleveland Browns drafted him there in the second round just a year ago.
All right, a couple of gentlemen I'd like to mention on the defensive side. Jacob Phillips, also Grant Delpit. Jacob had six tackles in the game against the Falcons, and Grant Delpit had four tackles. Give me your thoughts on Jacob and Grant in their play in this game.
Well, I'm going to start with Grant because I think he's kind of had a little bit of a rough start so far this season. But I think in this game against the Atlanta Falcons, he's looked really, really well with a couple of pass breakups. Right place, right time, playing instinctual football, which has kind of been the knock on him so far this season. A lot of blown coverages, not looking so good in coverage, but I think he really kind of redeemed himself this past week against the Atlanta Falcons. So I think that we'll continue to see that progression of him getting better. And I go back to my previous statement, you know, with a truncated preseason, you're going to see a little bit more confusion, a little bit more of a lack of discipline the first couple of weeks throughout the NFL just based off of that. And you can even throw injuries into the mix as well. Jacob Phillips, you know, he's kind of got the weight of the world on his shoulders right now with the loss of Anthony Walker Jr. He's now the green dot guy. He's shown the ability to communicate on defense and get the guys in those positions to make those plays. You know, I think the only thing that I saw, speaking specifically to the Falcons game, is just his angle at which he's attacking the run has been a little bit less than ideal. But I think that he's got the ability. He's got the talent. It's just also going to come down to reps. He's battled injuries. He hasn't been on the field as much as he probably would have liked the past couple of seasons. So with Grant, with Jacob Phillips, with all of those guys, it just simply comes down to reps because at the end of the day, they're still very young players.
All right, I want to talk about a couple of more players on the defensive side. Jordan Elliott had a sack in this game, and, of course, Denzel Ward, who earned a big contract during the offseason, had an interception in this game. Give me your thoughts on Jordan and Denzel and their play in this game.
Yeah, I'll start with Jordan. Look, I think that the lack of depth at the interior of the defensive line, it stands out. And, you know, when you lose a couple of guys, when Jadeveon Clowney, Myles Garrett goes out, you know, you can certainly feel that in terms of getting after the quarterback. But also when stopping the run, you lose Taven Bryan, you know, you really feel that. But I think Jordan Elliott stepped up in a big way. He was able to get his first sack, which was a lot of fun to see. But I still think that there's a lot of turn there in the interior of the defensive line that simply has to get better if this wants to be the Cleveland Browns want to be a playoff team. That position has to get better. But Denzel, I think he's had a couple of rough games so far this season. You can blame some of that on scheme. You can blame some of that on just, you know, having a brain fart or something like that for Denzel. You can go back to the blown coverage week two against the Jets. You know, a lot of that's on him. But I think if you go back and you look at some of his other plays, you know, one comes to mind, this interception in this Falcons game. He is making the right reads. He's just getting in front of the receiver to get that interception. He looks really good. And again, like these other players defensively that we've mentioned, I think it's going to come down to reps. This has been a very weird offseason. Denzel missed a little bit of time. I think give him time, we'll be all right.
You know, you mentioned his name, and I was going to ask you about him. Defensive coordinator Joe Woods. I mean, we've only been 4 weeks into this NFL season, and people on Twitter have gone off on Joe Woods. I mean, people have said that he's blown coverages. There's been important games where the Browns have had a lot of close games this year, and people have gone to him and said, what's wrong with the assignments and things of that nature? What do you think has gone wrong with Joe and his schemes coming into games?
Well, I think there's a lot to contribute to that. One is the scheme itself. Look, I'm not a Joe Woods hater. I'm not calling for anybody to lose their job at all, actually, because I'm not sure what the solution is if you do that. But I think that a lot of the prevent defense and the lack of pass rush the past couple of weeks now, this week, you know, you're without your two best edge rushers. I understand that. But just the inability to communicate and play within what seems to be a relatively complex scheme is just part of it's not working. And I can't quite pinpoint what it is. It comes down to a lot of things. scheme being one of them, communication being another, just a lack of discipline. We talk about the busted coverages, which are frustrating, but what is also frustrating is the several 12 men on the field calls, just shooting yourself in the foot. So I think that there's a lot of blame to go around, and I don't think that it solely lies on Joe Woods. I think you can take a look at the defensive backs coach. You can look at Jeff Howard. You know, I think that there's a lot of blame to go around. But at the end of the day, just like some of the offensive struggles, you can blame Kevin Stefanski, but you can also blame the execution. And I think part of it defensively comes down to that. The players have to execute within the scheme, but I do think that part of the scheme could be flawed.
All right, and I want to move along now to the quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. We know about Jacoby's track record. He's someone that was proven during his time in New England, also spent some time in Miami, also spent some time with the Indianapolis Colts as well. Currently, the starter for the time being under some strange circumstances, but Jacoby in this game, 21 out of 35 passes for 234 yards against the Falcons, and he also had a rushing touchdown. Give me your thoughts on Jacoby and his play against the Falcons.
Well, I think so far with Jacoby Brissett, he is as well as he can. For as well as, you know, you brought him in, you brought Jacoby Brissett in to do a specific job, and he's doing that, and I think he's doing it very well. Now, I don't think he was as sharp as he had been in weeks past against the Atlanta Falcons. You know, there's that screen pass to Kareem Hunt, and you probably get six on that play, and he just throws it into the ground. Granted, there was pressure coming at him. But I think in this game against the Atlanta Falcons, he didn't play his best game. There's a lot he'd like to have back. But over the first, you know, couple of weeks here, Jacoby Brissett hasn't been the issue. I think that he's played very well given the situation, given the circumstance, and he's kind of putting on display what this Kevin Stefanski offense can look like. He's, you know, done a very good job as a game manager. Now, those two losses end on two interceptions. Can't have that, but I also don't think that Jacoby Brissett should have been in that situation to begin with. So there's, again, a lot of blame to go around, but Jacoby Brissett is the player I've been very impressed so far.
I want to stay just with Jacoby for a moment. We know about the circumstances that happened with Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun will be back eventually. But considering everything that has happened, in your opinion, what were the steps that were taken in terms of Jacoby just learning the playbook and just trying to adjust and trying to make the situation a positive, and even in the midst of all the chaos that was happening around that time?
You know, that's just who Jacoby is, cool, calm, collected. You know, the culture of calm, he really fits that in what this front office and this coaching staff has looked to implement. But Jacoby Brissett, giving credit where it's due, you know, a lot of that goes to who he is as a player, the talent that he has and his leadership abilities to be able to navigate what was such a crazy offseason for the Cleveland Browns. Just as fans, I can't even imagine what it was like, you know, in that locker room. But to be able to learn the playbook like he has and to be able to navigate what was such an insane offseason is just a credit to who he is as a leader, to his character, and, of course, who he is as a player.
Yeah, Jacoby's been one of those guys that saw, like you said, Allie, he's a game manager, but he's also athletic and very durable. And as you said, he's doing the best job that he can so far for the time being that he's the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. So let's move along now to the Browns' next game against the Los Angeles Chargers. And let's start off on the defensive side for a moment. We know about the issue with Myles Garrett being involved in the automobile accident. He's fine. He's expected to play in this game. And the Browns are going to need him, especially on the defensive side, because they're going to be going up against Justin Herbert, also Austin Eckler, and the Los Angeles Chargers. What do you think the defensive strategies are going to be for the Browns going up against the Chargers?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to get into the head of Joe Woods and see what his thoughts are approaching this game. Because if you look back the past couple of weeks, you're playing average to below average quarterbacks and making them look elite in certain moments. And now you're actually going up against an elite quarterback with elite talent for this Chargers team. So, to me, it comes down to discipline and communication in those small details, like we talked at the top. I think it all comes down to making sure that you're playing every single snap in the spot that you're supposed to be at, and not having any, you can't shoot yourself in the foot in this game. I think if you can keep the ball in front of you without playing too much prevent defense, you're able to generate at least a little bit of pass rush because the Chargers are without their left tackle. You can get after Justin Herbert, but he can also make plays outside of the pocket. So the secondary has to be able to cover, period, point blank. And that's what, if you can't cover, you know, they're going to exploit that every single week. I think that we need to be able to generate the pass rush. We need to be able to cover, but it comes down to the discipline and the details.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. The Browns defense is definitely going to have to be disciplined because you can't forget about Keenan Allen and also Gerald Everett. Those guys are just monsters, both at the wide receiver position for Allen and Everett being at the tight end position. Let's move over to the other side of the ball, the Browns' offensive strategy against the Chargers' defense. If there's a little bit of good news for the Browns is that Joey Bosa is on injured reserve, but the Chargers have one of the best defenses in the league. Khalil Mack, Nup said, you know, you got Kenneth Murray, you've also got J.C. Jackson, and then Derwin James, who got a huge contract extension during the offseason, and of course Asante Samuel Jr. What do you think the Browns' offensive strategy is going to be against this tight Charger defense?
Well, I think that the Browns have gone up against some pretty decent defenses so far this season. And I think the recipe is still what it's always been, and that's to control the time of possession. And you do that by using Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. It's to dominate the line of scrimmage. You know, you mentioned it. Without Joey Bosa, sure, they still have Khalil Mack. They still have a lot of talent on that defensive line. But I'm willing to bet the offense is just a little bit better. So I'm going to take that bet any single day. But to be able to maintain the time of possession and control that clock, run the ball, and have Jacoby Brissett play a clean game. If you turn the ball over, you know, you're probably going to lose this game. So if you can play a clean game, you can do what you've been doing effectively and efficiently with running the ball and getting the ball into the hands of your playmakers, you feel pretty good about it. You know, going into the first couple of weeks, the Browns and the Falcons were the only two teams in the National Football League going into last week that have scored 26 or more points in every single game this season. Now, that ended on Sunday, but this isn't, the offense really hasn't been the biggest weakness for this Cleveland Browns team, which many thought that it would be. If they can play a clean game and keep the ball out of the hands of Justin Herbert, you feel okay going into this.
Should be an interesting game between the Browns and the Chargers, week 5 in Cleveland, Ohio at First Energy Stadium. Well, Allie, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Tell everybody what's going on over at the Here We Go Brownies podcast.
Yeah, we are the Here We Go Brownies podcast. You can catch that on Facebook or Twitter at Go Brownies Live. You can catch us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Check us out. We've got a lot of former and current player interviews coming your way. That's Here We Go Brownies podcast.
Awesome. And before I let you go, First Energy Stadium, or just Cleveland as a whole, has been one of those solid NFL cities. So I'd like to ask you, what foods do you enjoy eating at a Browns game?
Well, it depends on the time of year. But I'm a big barbecue person. So I like to get my hands on some brisket or some pulled pork. I think Cleveland does it right. They you know, they're not on the map in terms of barbecue cities in America, but when it comes to tailgating, I think they do it right. They've got the pierogies. You know, you can get nachos. You can get it all. I tend to lean a little bit more towards the barbecue, maybe some wings.
Awesome. And one more time, Allie, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, Here We Go Brownies podcast, or any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
Absolutely. You can check me out at Allie_Heisong on all of the socials, or the Here We Go Brownies podcast. That's at Go Brownies Live, or you can find us at herewegobrownies.com.
Awesome. You heard it from her. She's Allie Heisong, the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast, which is dedicated to all things related to the NFL's Cleveland Browns. Allie, thank you so much again. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Take care.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Brissett steps up. He's going to keep it himself. Brissett has the window. Touchdown! Jacoby Brissett!
He told us in our meeting that he wasn't This read option, agile. Hunt in motion. Hand off to Chubb. Chubb through the left side. Inside the 20. Chubb's got the 10. 5. Touchdown. Nick Chubb.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan. Or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Allie Highsong, co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. Big ups to her once again for coming on the program and giving us the current insights on what's happening with the Cleveland Browns. Until next time, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.